For all your Disney Vacation Club needs, be it buying, selling, or renting points for your next vacation, check out our sponsor over at dvcshop.com. Now on with the show.
Clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de la puerta. We welcome you aboard our highway to the sky.
If you're standing, please hold on to the handrails and stay clear of the automatic doors. They will be closing in a moment. Thank you.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Monorail Tales. This is Rick. I am the host with the most tonight. And what may you ask I have the most of? I have the most bestest co-host tonight, Mrs. Sheila Sanders.
Oh, you just blew my line, Rick. I was going to make some comeback on your host with the most, but you're being sweet to me for a change. So
I'm like pulling the rug out from under you.
I know. I mean, yeah, he's thrown me for a loop. Well, thank you very much, Rick. And in fact, on the last two episodes, I think I did make reference to you being my favorite co-host.
I've heard that over the past couple episodes.
See?
As a matter of fact.
But I was drunk. So, yes, I mean, so. I'm sober now.
There is that.
I was just going to say, I'm feeling very lucky to have the two best hosts and co-hosts in.
Yes.
Well, the two worst, I think they're the best.
Two wrongs don't make it right.
Well, let's put it this way, guest that hasn't been announced yet. You are the rose between two thorns, okay?
Aw, thank you.
And speaking of sweet, I have one of the most sweetest and most kindest, and I know my grammar's bad, but one of my favorite friends, Cindy Ellicott from Canada.
Yay, Canada.
Come on, you can say Saskatchewan.
I can say Saskatchewan.
See, there you go.
But I didn't know if I should say Saskatoon. Is that right?
Well, we lived there for 20 years, but we're in a small town now.
Okay. How small is it?
Well, we live on an acreage outside of the town, but 600 people in the town.
Wow.
So it's kind of like Little House on the Prairie or something?
Yeah, similar. You never have any issues with, you know, road rage, or you know, you come up to a four-way and it's like, you go, oh no, you go, hi Rick, how are you?
Well, isn't that the way it is in most of Canada anyways? Everybody's so nice,
particularly small towns, but I think Canadians are nice. Yes,
yes,
it's a well-deserved reputation.
And I think it is. And welcome to the show, by the way, Cindy. I think Canadians are known for their politeness. You know, we apologize when it's not even our fault, you know?
Exactly.
As it should be. No, I'm just kidding. Sometimes it's just easier to apologize, just to, you know, smooth it over and move on.
I'll tell you what, Cindy, the idea of living with only, you know, 599 other people around you, that just amazes me. I mean, how does it go through the seasons, like winter? How are you in winter for that?
We're very self-sufficient. The acreage we live on is, it was made to be self-sufficient. So we have our own water system and our own sewer system, and we have a generator for power if we need it and stuff. We're actually one of the designated places to go in case of a some sort of a natural, like it's a hydro outage for a period of time. One winter, the natural gas, which is our main form of heat for most people, was out. So we have wood heat here. So we were able to help out with that. And we're just pretty self-sufficient on our acreage where we are. Doesn't mean that it's not difficult in the winter, but we're used to it. We get through it.
I've been here 21 years now in South Carolina, and I still call electricity hydro. So
yeah, that's we have a lot of hydro here. It's a lot with the rivers and water and dams and stuff like that. So it's always hydro.
Yeah, I can remember first time I ever said it to Steve, it's like, oh, you know, we got the hydro bill in. He just kind of looked at me as I was bonkers, you know.
Yeah, I thought you were talking about your water went out.
Oh, okay, yeah.
No, that's what Canadians call electricity, hydro.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah.
All right, so Cindy, we're just going to take a little bit of time to get to know you better. And let's start out with, I don't know, let's go back 29 years to when you were born.
Thank you.
Being from Canada, and yeah, I'm just kind of correlating stories that Sheila has said, you know, not growing up in America, how did you get into Disney? Was it something that you were familiar with as a kid, or?
Not at all. And I grew up with a very isolated. We were off-grid before off-grid was cool. Grew up, my parents had a school bus, and, you know, we were there, lived on my grandfather's farm in the wintertime and stuff like that. Did not have television till I was in grade 7, I think. And even then, we were very rarely allowed to watch much on TV. It was for my grandpa to watch Hockey Night in Canada and Bonanza on Sunday. So just had no exposure to Disney. It was funny because our daughter went to school, and then she was working for a supported living home. She was had her psychology degree, and she was developing goals and plans for individuals that were living in a supported living situation. And the place that she was working at, they were very progressive board, and they fundraised so that their children or members, clients of the homes, could go on vacations, independent vacations, without their families, to give them some independence. And so the one year they fundraised to go to Disneyland in California, and my daughter went along as a support worker and came back just in love with Disneyland. And she was just graduating, and I had offered to take her on a trip anywhere she wanted to go, and she chose Disney World. She wanted to go and see Disney World after being at Disneyland. I was thinking New York or Paris or something like that, but we went, and I fell in love with it instantly, and now we've been traveling partners to Disneyland and Disney World, and she has been to Tokyo Disney as well.
How long ago was that, Cindy, when you first went to Disney World with her?
Our first trip was 2013.
Oh, quite recent then.
Yes.
And how often have you gone since then?
So I've been to Disneyland twice and Disney World 3 times so far.
And I want to go ahead and ask this question to get it out of the way, because I know that Sheila will probably ask it. But which do you prefer, Disney World or Disneyland?
I like Disney World better. There's so much to do, and I get that Disneyland is the original park and that Walt actually was there and walked there, which I appreciate, that historical part of it. But as an adult, I like Epcot, I like Animal Kingdom, I like the different areas there. And if people ask me, where should we go? I always say, you know, if you've got younger children, I would recommend Disneyland. It's set up so nice and organized and easy access from all hotels. You can get to both parks, you can walk. But for, you know, as an adult, I love Disney World.
That's really a good answer there, actually, to sort of like put it into age categories, because I think you're so right on that one.
Yeah, it's a really interesting perspective, because I've never thought about that aspect of it, you know, being easier for younger children because it's, you know, close together and compact.
Yeah.
I think it can be overwhelming for Disney World with families. They're always, I see on the Facebook posts and stuff, panicking about, you know, are my kids going to even like this one if we go to all the trouble to get there and it's 25 minutes on the bus. And then if we want to come back for a nap, then we're, you know, we're wasting time and it's expensive. And Disneyland, you don't have any of that. And, you know, a lot of the rides and stuff at Disneyland are magical. For kids, for young kids. I loved Disneyland. We were there Christmas Eve through New Year's in 2016 and, you know, absolutely loved that. But I can see where with smaller children, it would be way less overwhelming.
And I think the other angle to look at this, Cindy, I don't know if you felt the same, but you go to Walt Disney World and you actually have the bubble that you go through. You know, when you go through those gates, you don't have that at Disneyland. I mean, it's really, I know when I first went to Disneyland, I just found it really strange. You know, there's the park, but there's, you know, I'm going to make it up here, but, you know, there's the park and there's a CVS across the road. It's, I don't know. It's not as magical until you get inside. And that's when the magic happens for me.
Yeah, I think a lot of people that are used to Disney World are surprised when they go to Disneyland because that's it exactly. You've got the hotels and Denny's and stuff right across the street and, you know, the homeless people begging and you're just not seeing any of that at Disney World because you are insulated. It doesn't even matter if you're traveling on the bus between parks, you're still not seeing any of that. I love them both. I really enjoy both of them, and I would love to go and see Paris and some of the other ones as well, so hopefully someday.
That's one of my hopes and dreams, too, to see at least one of the foreign parks. I would like to, you know, somehow go to all of them, but that's a big project for sure.
Yeah. There's a podcaster and a vlogger out of Regina that does TDR Explorer. He used to live in Regina. He now lives in Tokyo, but he has a tour set up where he does the three Tokyo, Hong Kong, and Shanghai over a 2-week period. I'm very interested in going on that because he leads a tour. So you know, you're part of the group, a little more accessible because language is more of a factor there and stuff. Like when Britt went to Tokyo, she said it was a little bit more difficult because the language barrier, trying to find cast members that understood English and stuff like that.
I know when Steve went to Shanghai, he had no real issues with communicating, but maybe the other parts are a little bit more different. I'm trying to think of a word.
Yeah, I do like the idea of, I mean, if I'm going to take the time to go to Tokyo, I would like to do Hong Kong and Shanghai as well. Yeah. Wow. I'm in the area. And having somebody like that be a tour guide seems like it would make it much easier and manageable, like you said.
Yeah, I would feel a little bit more comfort for the first trip anyway.
And I bet after that, you could probably do the tour yourself.
I think so, yeah.
Because you don't always go with your daughter, do you?
I used to, but I recently went by myself.
So, Cindy, would you go like on a solo trip to international parks first time?
Yes. Now you would? I'm to the point that I would, yes.
Now, you see, you're brave. I don't know, as a woman, I don't know if I could. I mean, Steve went solo, obviously, but I don't know.
I've seen Brittany do it and how much adventure, sense of adventure she brought back from that, what she learned. She went and worked for 2 years in New Zealand and traveled through Singapore and Australia and Fiji and places like that, and did it all by herself. The whole 2 years she was by herself, and then the additional 6 months when she just traveled after she was done work, stayed in hostels, you know, booked her own hotel room in Tokyo, learned to use the transit in Tokyo, stuff like that. So I'm confident that I could do it.
Now, I did go to Montreal by myself. And I survived.
If you can do Montreal, I think you could do Europe.
Well, no, I had no choice. I was going for my green card, but yeah, I was still on my own. And, you know, sometimes I think we put up walls and we shouldn't, you know. I had no choice but to go. If I had a choice, would I have gone? Probably the answer would have been no.
But the technology is so different now. When I think of when I was in Montreal, it was almost 30 years ago, and you didn't have the translators on your phone, and you didn't have the instant access to maps to figure things out. So communication was more of an issue. Now you can travel internationally with the technology and really not have too many issues as far as I can see.
Yeah, that's true.
I think it's really great personally, Cindy, that you were able to learn from your daughter's experience and see that, you know, I think it's great when parents can learn and pick up positive things from their children.
I agree.
But don't you think, though, Rick, your statement is what goes around comes around? So basically, you've taught your kids that.
Yes. But in contrast, you know, I feel that often a lot of parents don't get that.
Right.
Which is sad.
Yeah, you get to a certain part that you've taught them, and then they take it beyond. And if you can benefit from that and learn to go beyond your own comfort zone because of them, that's
fantastic.
Exactly. That's where you really benefit.
Yeah. And it sounds like that you were able to do that because, you know, as we referenced, you did take a solo trip, and it was rather recent, about 2.5 months ago.
Yep.
Is that correct?
Yes.
And was that your first solo trip?
It was my first solo trip to Disney and my first solo international trip. I had not traveled out of Canada on my own before.
Okay. So there is that challenge, you know, just the apprehension, I think, of a new experience and, you know, not to put a spoiler out there, but on this trip that you were going solo on, you were going to be meeting a lot of internet friends. So did you have any
70 of them?
Yeah. Did you have any apprehension about that at all?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. I was texting my daughter the day before I left, and I said, everybody's all friends online. What if they hate me when I get there and meet them in person? They're just kind of like, ooh, you know, who is this person? And so I was a little bit afraid, but it turned out that everybody was just really welcoming, and we all just sort of talked about things we'd always been talking about and, you know, have Disney in common. And
yeah. And I personally think that anybody that has ever met you could not possibly not like you. And you also had another challenge on this trip. Do you maybe want to share with Sheila what that is or was? It is because you're still dealing with it, right?
Right. So I traveled on July 10th. I started my trip. And July 5th, I was hiking with my dog and slipped on some gravel. And I ended up with a partial tear of my Achilles tendon.
Ooh.
So I was fitted for a boot and had a cane. So traveling through the airport and all that kind of stuff was a bit of a challenge. And my flights had been booked relatively direct. And then the Tuesday before the flight, which was supposed to be Saturday, I got a call from the airline, or not a call, a message from the airline saying that those flights were no longer available. And now I was being routed through four stops. There'd be three layovers, and one of them was a total overnight layover. So instead of flying Saskatoon to Toronto to Orlando, I was now flying Saskatoon to Calgary to Toronto to Atlanta to Orlando.
Whoa. And
it was going to be, I wasn't going to be getting there till Sunday night, leaving early Saturday morning. And I said, well, that doesn't work for me, because that's taking 2 days out of my trip. With the other way, I was supposed to be there by shortly after lunch on Saturday. So they did manage to find it was the same connections, just not as long a layovers. And so I left at noon on Friday and got in around 2 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. But yeah, it was still before switching airlines and planes and stuff like that. So
I do have a quick question. When you're at the airport then, you're on a cane and boot. Does anyone offer help at these airports these days?
So the air crews were very willing to help. They kept asking me, are you sure you don't need a wheelchair? Can we help you? Can I carry your bag for you? They were very eager to help. And actually even other people just, you know, grabbed my bag and took it with them when they were going down the ramp and stuff like that, and took it up in the overhead. So they were very good. And even once I got to Orlando, I had rented a car, so I went to Walmart to get some groceries for my hotel room, and there was a lady there with a cart full of groceries, and she saw me and she goes, oh no, you go in front of me. And I said, no, it's okay, I'm fine, I got time. She goes, no, you've got a boot on, you go in front of me.
Oh.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to go ahead and put this out there that the trip that Cindy is talking about is, it was a trip that was kind of set up by the Dub D Dub Review podcast and their Facebook group, Edcot. And it was around 70 people, Cindy being one of them. Liam and I were two of them, and several of our other friends. So I'm sure the highlight of Cindy's trip was meeting me.
Yes, up at Raglan Road the first night, and Rick sat right across from me, and we were instant friends. That was the best part. Yes.
Fun. She shared her meal with me. I got to taste her salmon.
Then Liam came over, and I met him, and we started trading pins, and it was a really nice first introduction. Yeah.
Yes. Cindy performed a miracle because Liam was getting frustrated and upset. She started talking to him, and he calmed down. She engaged with him, and he engaged with her. And like she said, started trading pins. Or I think you gave all the kids a pin that were at the dinner too.
Yeah.
But you talked about pin trading, and the next thing I know, he wanted to go get a lanyard so he could wear his pin. And of course, when you get lanyards, you get more pins and stuff. And as soon as we got back from purchasing his lanyard and the pins, he went back over and showed you the pins that he bought.
Yeah, we made a deal I would bring one that I had at the hotel room that I knew he would like, and he was going to trade it for one he had that I wanted. So we set up a trade for the next day at Animal Kingdom.
Mm-hmm. And anybody that's ever heard me talk about Liam, that was a really big deal, you know, because he does have a little bit of social anxiety and issues with that. So, yeah, I was so appreciative, and it really just made my trip. And we actually, the next day, we saw you at Epcot. Animal Kingdom was the day after that, I think, because we saw you in the Land Pavilion.
Right, yeah.
And I think Liam probably showed you some more of his new pins that he got there.
Yeah. Yeah, and then he stayed in the line with me when we were going through the line, too, so that we could talk about the pins and other things and stuff. So yeah, we ended up chatting through the line for Soren.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, that's so cool. Cindy, so your main reason for going on this trip, would you say it was for the meetups that Rick was talking about?
Exactly.
Okay. So I got a couple of quick questions. Number one, where did you stay on that trip?
I stayed at Holiday Inn Express on Palm Court, Marbella Court, Palm. We use Holiday Inn Express for my work. I travel all the time for work, so I have a lot of points. So I was able to get the room all on points. So, and they have a free breakfast, and I'm kind of frugal, I'll say. So I was able to get breakfast before I went to the park every morning, and a couple bottles of water and stuff, so, and stay at the room for free. So yeah, I rented a car and stayed off property.
Okay, I don't know where that one's located, but to get to the parks, did you have to go on I-4?
Not necessarily. I usually just went, there's a South 535 or 536 there that went across. And the only one I think I had to go on I-4 was maybe Animal Kingdom, but, it was only maybe 4 minutes from Disney Springs where I stayed. So very, very close to that area.
Right. And the other question I've got for you is, when you guys were not having meetups, what other things were you, doing during your day? Would you go to a park every day during this visit?
I did. I hadn't planned on it, but I got pixie dusted when I went to Disney Springs. When I first got there, I just wanted, I had bought a 6-day no hopper park pass, and I just wanted to change it because my flight back had also been delayed by 2 days. So I was going to have a couple extra days. So I went and I was just going to add on. And he said, well, are you going anywhere today? And I told him, no, I was just trying to be responsible and not add the hoppers and not add too many days, just do the days. And I said, I'm only here for a half day today. So I just didn't want a park ticket for that day. And we had the meetup that night at Raglan Road for supper. And so he took my ticket and he handed it back to me. And he said, here you go. He said, you've got 8 days and they're all park hoppers. So he said, go to the park and have fun. And he didn't charge me. He just upgraded them all. So I did. I went to a park every day.
God, that is certainly some magic that was presented to you.
It was very nice because then I was able to really relax and enjoy my time. Like, I just went to Animal Kingdom then for a couple hours that afternoon and, you know, just kind of wandered around and got myself the Simba popcorn bucket that I wanted. And, you know, it wasn't a rush because I'm only here for this part of this day kind of thing. So it was really nice to have the extra time.
Okay, well, Rick, you know me. One more quick question.
That's all right.
There's other people out there that's probably heading to Disney with a boot on their foot, or, you know, just difficulties, sprained ankle, whatever. What was it like for you getting around the parks?
I didn't have a lot of issue with the partial tear of the Achilles tendon as long as the boot was done up really snug so I couldn't flex my foot. It wasn't bothering me too much. There were days I did 26,000 steps with it. So
wow. And the heat didn't get to you?
I like the heat.
Oh, okay. You and I are opposite.
Yeah. My daughter hates it too. She's always looking for air conditioning and the cooling towels and the fan, and I'm just, doesn't bother me too much. So
I think one thing that I noticed, Cindy, is that you just went at your own pace.
That's true. I did.
And I think in that situation, that probably made all the difference. It might have been easier because you were solo, that, you know, you could choose to meet up with people when you wanted to or when you were able to. But the rest of the time, when you were by yourself, you could just, you know, go at your own pace and not worry about trying to either keep up with somebody or get from place to place at a certain time. And, you know, I think one thing that helped with that was not having you know, fast passes and all that too.
Yeah, I think you're right. And when I was lagging, I could just let them go on. And, you know, like when it came, everybody was moving on to Everest, I just knew I wasn't up to that whole walk. And so I just waited it out till you guys were done on it and kind of rested for a bit in the shade and then met, you know, joined you guys when you came off the ride. So I didn't feel any pressure to do rides or, you know, be anywhere at any time. So it was nice. You're right. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Now, besides Raglan Road, did you do any other sit down meals on your own?
On my own, I did Yak and Yeti.
Okay.
Which is one of my favorites. And I had been dying to try the ahi tuna nachos, and they were as good as I had hoped they would be. They were amazing and just so refreshing and light because I was doing a lot of snacking. So I was eating just a lot of cinnamon buns and stuff like that. And then, so that was the only one I did on my own. And then I met up with a bunch from the group at Liberty Tree Tavern on the Thursday for lunch. And we did a sit-down meal there.
Now, do you have a good comfort level if you're in a sit-down restaurant, being on your own?
Yep. I travel by myself all the time. So.
Oh, so you're used to it.
Yeah. I'm very used to being on my own.
So as far as that trip goes, are there any other highlights that you would like to share?
Definitely being at Flight of Passage at Animal Kingdom when everybody got to ride, Tim and Jeremy, and that had been working so hard, and you were there, and there was so many of us, and it just went off without a hitch, and you know, everybody was cheering, and that's definitely a highlight. I think our girls' night was a highlight. It's definitely the one we're telling stories about afterwards. It was a lot of fun.
You want to give Sheila a little synopsis of that night?
So we were all just sitting, having our drinks around, you know, couches and chairs, and we pulled together some tables and stuff. And this gentleman comes up and asks if he can use the one chair after somebody had left. And so Cassandra said, yeah, go ahead. She thought he just wanted to take the chair. And he sat down, and he was quite inebriated, and he was not taking the hint that we didn't want him there. I tried to be a little bit, you know, everybody was trying to be nice to him, but he was being really like the, oh, how did so many good looking women get down at one table and stuff like that. And, you know, everybody kind of replied, oh, you know, it's our husbands. It's thanks to our husbands. And, you know, then he was making other comments. He was coming off as very predatory, and he was telling us all about how he was this IT specialist for a nonprofit foster organization and how rich he was and stuff like that. And then he started into some other stuff. And I just said, you know what? This is, at first I had said to him, how many drinks have you had? And he said, two. And I said, okay, I just want to know where the splash zone is so I can move back a little bit, because you're clearly have over imbibed here and you're making us uncomfortable. And he still, like, he wouldn't leave. Wow. And then, so finally I said this, you know, over and done with, I said, you're making us uncomfortable. We put a lot of time and effort into planning this to be together, to enjoy each other. And you are making us uncomfortable, making it very awkward, and you need to leave now. And he said, are you telling me I have to leave? And I said, yes, I am. And he said, well, I'm not going unless I hear it from each one of these women.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And so the rest of them were all like, yep, she's the boss. You have to go. She says you have to go. So then he was a little, you know, he was out of it. He was being really awful. But anyway, so now we all laugh about Mike from Seattle in IT. Oh, okay. And he offered, could he stay if he showed us his belly button? That was the final one after everybody said he had to leave. I'll show you my belly button if you let me stay.
So, yeah. Oh, that's unbelievable.
So we laughed about that all the way home that night. I was giving a few of them a ride home, and we killed ourselves laughing about that all the way. So much so that when we pulled up to Animal Kingdom, the guard was like, you guys are having way too much fun. Can I come party with you?
Hey, where were you at this meeting?
Ale and Compass in the lounge at Yacht Club.
Yacht Club. Okay.
I was a little surprised because there were two guys there serving and they never did anything about it. Like, they never came to tell him, like, you should leave. And it was obvious he was being inappropriate. But.
And how many women were around that table?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 or 8 of us.
I'm just visualizing 7 handbags kind of hitting him.
Yeah. what he was going to get next. Yeah. And they're all like, I can't believe the Canadian told him to get lost.
The politest of the bunch.
Yeah.
Well, and I don't mean that disrespectful of the other 6 people were there. It's just what we were saying.
Yeah, I want to let Cassandra know what you said about her.
Yeah. I'll make it up to Cassandra when we go to the zoo.
But that was a super fun trip, and you know, I hope that we can all do it again soon. I really do hope, Cindy, that our paths cross again.
Yeah, me too. More your family too.
Yeah, so the rest of my family can meet you too.
Yeah.
But you also just got back from a trip to Disney World.
And that was brought on by the happily ever after ending. And Britt, our daughter, is just in love with happily ever after. And she was distraught when she heard that it was going to be gone. We have a trip planned in November. And so we were going to miss it by, you know, a month and a half or whatever. And so she was just distraught. So we figured out, she's a nurse and she works 12-hour shifts. So at one point she gets 5 days in a row off. So we figured out to make it work during those 5 days off to just do a quick trip down there. And that's what we did, not this last weekend, but the weekend before. So we left Saturday morning and flew home Tuesday night.
Was your flight down as eventful as the flight down in July with your layovers and
No, what we did for that is to eliminate a little bit of the layovers. Is normally we drive to Saskatoon and fly out of Saskatoon, but where my daughter lives and works is only 4 hours from Edmonton. So I drove the 4 hours to where she works, picked her up, and we drove to Edmonton and flew straight from Edmonton. So we avoided that flight from Saskatoon to either Edmonton or Calgary, first of all, and then got a more direct. So we just flew Edmonton to Toronto to Orlando. So we left at 1 o'clock in the morning. We flew out of Edmonton and we were in Orlando by noon.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was a lot better.
Cindy, what about flight cost from where you live? How much does it cost to,
$900 a person. But again, we haven't traveled for quite a while, so I've got lots of air miles through work credit cards and stuff.
Is that with Air Canada or another line?
So I have air miles and Aeroplan, and either one of them now, you can fly either Air Canada or WestJet.
Okay.
That's the only two major ones we have. WestJet partners with Delta, so sometimes you end up on Delta. But nothing is flying internationally out of Saskatoon or Regina right now. They haven't regained their international status since COVID. So if you want to fly international, you have to fly Calgary, Toronto, Vancouver, that sort of thing. So, yeah, fly Edmonton to Toronto and then... actually met up with somebody from another Facebook page, Pin Collectors in Canada, at Toronto Airport, and then we all flew down together.
Oh my gosh, I have not been to Toronto Airport in eons, because when I go back to see the family, I always go to Buffalo and then kind of cross over at Niagara Falls. I never liked Toronto Airport. It was crazy.
It still is, yes. It's a bit of a, and our flight back, we had an interesting flight back, and we were on a real short timeline to make it through customs and everything and get to our plane, so they had to hold the plane for us for a bit. But
what kind of highlights did you have when you your daughter went?
So we fit a lot in. We went to, as soon as we got there, we went to Disney Springs because she wanted to pick up cookies from Gideon's and some stuff from Amorette's for the room. We got that. Then we went to Magic Kingdom. By supper time, we met up with Christina, Michael's wife, Christina, and the boys, Jordan and Cameron. And we met up with Peter and his wife, Missy, and we watched Happily Ever After. And then we did a couple of rides that night. So she got to see Happily Ever After. So the pressure was off in case it got rained out or whatever the next night. But then the next night we had tickets to the party, the Boobash. So we went to that. We spent the day at Hollywood Studios. She got a boarding pass for Rise Resistance. So we were able to ride that. We rode Smuggler's Run. She had never been to Galaxy's Edge because last time we went was in 2019, a week before they opened. So we did the whole Galaxy's Edge thing and had a really great time there. And and then made it over to Magic Kingdom that night and enjoyed that night until about 1 o'clock. And then the next morning we had to go for our COVID testing to get tested for our trip back home. So we were at the testing site for 7 o'clock and then went to Animal Kingdom and did Animal Kingdom and Epcot in the afternoon on Monday. And then Tuesday morning we went to Disney Springs and then flew home. It was busy and it was a lot of fun. Like we managed to try a lot of stuff at Food and Wine and Epcot. She got to see Epcot Forever because she had never seen that too. So she got to see those fireworks before they left. So
when's your next trip down then? Have you got one in mind?
So November 7th to the 15th, we're at Disney World. And then the 15th to the 18th, we are on the Disney Dream for a cruise. We're doing Land and Sea. And this is Britt's present to me. She's taking me for this trip. And then we're going to have 3 days at Universal before we fly home. So it's a full 2 week trip.
Have you guys been to Universal before?
We've never been. Yeah, we like Universal. We've done Universal both California and Orlando. So we really like Universal as well. We would never spend as long there as we do at Disney World, but we do like to hit it for the rides. I love the rides. I love Rip Ride Rocket and Hulk. And
I think it's got that convenience factor like you were talking about, Disneyland.
Yeah, and she loves Harry Potter, so we're both happy.
Yeah. I do happen to know somebody that's going to be at Disney World from November 18th through the 22nd.
Oh, are you?
Yes. Oh, I will. Yeah, Steven, I will.
We'll definitely make that work then to meet up because we'll be back. We'll be getting back off the cruise the 18th. So
I'll Uber over there. I'll ditch Steven heartbeat.
Yeah, we're staying at Royal Pacific. So.
Oh, we stay there. It's very nice.
Now, is this the first cruise that you've been on?
It is. Neither one of us have ever done a cruise before. We're very, very much looking forward to that.
And you're still going next year, aren't you, Rick? All being well.
This is where we're supposed to go here next July. I'm definitely going to be interested to hear about your trip, Cindy.
We're doing that annual pass math where we actually bought an annual pass. So we're also planning to go back for the time in February as well.
That's one thing that you guys did at Disney Springs, right? You upgraded the annual passes.
Yeah, we did.
Was that an easy process?
It was very easy, and it's turning out like it's going to be well worth it because we had that trip and then we've got the November trip coming up. That would have paid for the passes alone, but with the 50th merchandise dropping while we were there, we saved about $300 on that with the discount. So it was well worth it. Yeah.
You know what, Rick? We're going to get Cindy back for sure because I want to hear about her first time on a cruise.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
We're hoping it's going to be a good experience because I have a bit of a phobia if I can't see land. So I've been on a couple big ferries in Southern Ontario because my husband's family's all from Southern Ontario. So on the Great Lakes. Mm-hmm. And have to go sit in like the little cafe or whatever when you can't see land. I can't stay on the deck just looking at water. So we're hoping, and I like the way with the Disney cruises where you basically you cruise at night and then you're in port somewhere for during the day. So I'm hoping that it'll be good, but we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, that might make it a little easier for you.
Yeah. I'm hoping that it'll be good. And it's huge compared to a ferry, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think for me, I mean, it's something that Steve and I really want to do, But my concern is, you know, what's it like wearing a life jacket every day? Because that would be me. You know, I blame it. Hashtag Titanic, whatever. I don't swim. And I think it is this big fear, you know. There's going to be Steve and I on the bow.
Either, so that might play into it. Whereas our daughter and my husband are both water babies. Like they're, and my husband, both his parents were in the Navy. So, I mean, she grew up sailing and loves sailing and water. And my husband loves water and being out on the lake and stuff like that. I don't swim. So I sink right to the bottom every time.
Well, I wish you luck.
I'll have my floaty wings.
There you go. I do have a couple questions for you, or maybe you could explain it. Coming from Canada, what are some of the hoops and hurdles that you've had to deal with to get to Disney World from Canada and then back again?
So the biggest one cleared just before we traveled in July, actually went out of effect July 7th, and that was the need for a two-week quarantine when you flew back in. Regardless of anything, you were required to quarantine. And the first 3 or 4 days of that had to be at a government approved hotel, which was at a cost of about $3,000 per person. So that prohibited traveling to the US. It just was not realistic. So with faith and pixie dust, I went ahead and booked this trip in July and bought the travel insurance so that if all else failed. But then the week before we heard that that was going away, and I had actually talked to my boss and he had been okay with me doing the 2 weeks at home. It was just the going to the hotel, the government authorized hotel for $3,000. That was the main hurdle, but that cleared. So we didn't have to do that. So what I had to do was within 72 hours before the flight into the US, and because that got changed around, I had to change my appointment, but I had to have just a rapid antigen test to come into the US. So that's like $90, not that huge of a deal. To fly home within 72 hours of our flight coming home, we have to have the RT-PCR test, which is 200 US, so about 260 Canadian. And you have to have that done and have the results back and have it downloaded on your phone. And you have to have the Arrive Can app. And you have to load that information as well as your proof of vaccination status to the Arrive Canada app. So because you can't clear customs without it. They won't let you out of the secure area unless that stuff's all downloaded to the app and they've pre-cleared you. So that's the worst.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Have you ever had any issues going through customs?
Not unless my husband's with me. He always gets... Oh, honestly, every box is short and sock at a time.
Oh, wow.
I'm not sure why, but I haven't. It's a little bit more with the boot on because they have to swab the boot and then some of them make me take it off so they can check the lining. Some of them make me sit down and lift it up so they can look at the bottom of it. Some of them actually put it through the x-ray. And so with the boot, they always send me over to the side. But the other side of that is they do put me through the quick line. Because of the cane and the boots. So I don't have to stand in the whole zigzag line. I go to the straight to the easy access line. So it works out in the end and they swab everything and just check it. I take medications that can be an issue crossing the border and it's not like CVS or anything like that. A year and a half ago, no, it's almost 2 years now, I was diagnosed with early onset dementia. So I take a medication that is pretty new in the field of treating Alzheimer's and dementia, and it's a stimulant. So it triggers their protocols. So right. Then they have to verify. I always have to carry the prescription with me and make sure that I have that it's recent and that it's up to date and that my doctor's name and information is on there so that they can verify it if they want to and that I only have enough for the time I'm down there, that I don't bring extras and stuff like that. So that's one of the bigger ones.
Yeah. Actually, the last time I came back from Canada and going through customs, They stopped me. I don't normally get stopped. You know, I know the rules by heart, basically. But they stopped me. And
well, now it's red light, green light. Like, it doesn't have any rhyme or reason. If you get a green light, you get to go. If the red light flashes, you got to go over and get checked.
Well, actually, on this case, I think there was a reason. And I understand it now. But basically, when I go to Canada, I bring back all my chocolate. And, you know, all my ketchup chips and, oh, my gosh, I miss them so much.
Barbecue but anyway, Fritos?
No.
They're very good.
It's a special treat in my house.
Oh, I haven't tried them. But anyway, I had the whole case filled, you know, with arrows and bounties and you name it. It
Coffee
was in
crisp.
There. Yes. And
those are good.
they stopped me and literally... My whole case was just, you know, carry-on was just full of chocolate and chips. I think I sent some to Rick. It wasn't all for me. But, I mean, it was like they pulled everything out and they were swabbing everything. Well, apparently, I found out, you know, much later that's where a lot of people have now started hiding stuff in amongst candies. And yeah, but I'm stood there and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, all these people are looking at all this chocolate thinking what a pig I am.
If they travel back and forth between Canada and the US, they know, because that's pretty common. If you're coming back, can you bring me this?
Yeah. I just wanted to put the sign up. This isn't all mine.
Yeah, there's no comparison to Canadian chocolate when you're in the US. I mean, UK chocolate is the same, but
yeah,
Canadian chocolate is just a nicer chocolate.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I miss even things like soy sauce. You know, I mean, it's different in Canada than it is down here. My Bovril gravy mix, I'm just, yeah. Oh.
What kind of sauce did you say?
Oh, soya sauce.
Soy sauce?
Soya.
Like for Chinese food? I thought you said Sawyer sauce, like Tom Sawyer.
No, soya.
Like China lily that you can't get in the US.
Oh, yes. Okay, that's enough. You're making me homesick, Cindy. Oh, and just one more. My favorite beer that I cannot get down here at all. But one day soon, I am heading back to Canada. My favorite beer is Sleeman's, by the way, Canadian.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Love Sleeman's.
Very nice beer.
So I know you haven't mentioned it yet, but there was one other interesting thing that happened on your flight home, wasn't there?
Yeah. Oh, you mean
share it with Sheila.
Yeah, we're flying. Well, first of all, we got to the airport and they had no record of our reservation or our flight. We weren't on that flight to fly out. And but I had my confirmation on the phone, so I kept showing it to them and they just kept saying to me, well, you're not even on this flight. You're not on this flight. And I kept saying, but I have the confirmation. And so finally they realized their computer wasn't working. So they went to a different computer and then there we were. So that was our first half hour. But then flying from Orlando to Toronto, we got into Toronto. And when we took off from Orlando, we heard a boom. And didn't really know what it was. Nobody really said anything. Everything just continued as normal or whatever. And then when we went to land, we just about touched down and then they pulled up. And the pilot came on and said that there had been a computer glitch with the landing gear and that they were going to circle around and come back down again. So we circled, didn't attempt a landing. Circled again, didn't attempt a landing. And then he came on and he said they were having issues with the landing gear but they were going to put it down manually. So that was going to take them about 20 minutes to manually crank down on the landing gear on the one side of the plane. The other side was down, was fine. So we circled again and by this time it's been almost an hour that we've been circling. And so then he came on and he said, it's down. It's not functioning properly. Just so you know, there's going to be all kinds of emergency vehicles and they're landing us way out in this field just so that we're nowhere near the terminal. But everything's going to be fine. We're confident or whatever. So we came down and he landed it on an angle So he hit on the side where the landing gear was working, and then just at the last kind of second, landed it down onto the other side, which was obviously frozen up because the tires popped right away and slid us sideways. But we were almost stopped at that point. So yeah, we came to a stop, and all of the emergency equipment came rushing up, and the fire trucks and the ambulances and all that kind of stuff. And they had a whole bunch of them around the terminal in Toronto as well, just waiting, I guess, in case we crashed into it. Then we had to wait because they had to tow us in. So because he couldn't drive in. So they towed us in, and it was like boom, 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 all the way in. They towed us in, and then they couldn't take us right to the terminal. So they could only tow us to one of those stairs out in the middle of the thing. And then we had to get onto a cart and get taken into the thing. And we had only had an hour and 45 minutes originally between landing and when we were supposed to be on our plane to Edmonton. So with that whole delay and everything, we were landing when our plane to Edmonton was boarding. We were being towed in and getting off the plane. And we were kind of like, there's no way we're going to make our flight. And we could hear them saying, you're not allowed to touch the plane. Don't open the luggage compartment. We got to make sure that this electrical, we could smell hot electric. So we knew stuff had burned and whatever. And so anyway, we got off and they literally ran us through with a golf cart through everything. I mean, they took us to customs and he stamped our book and was like, we were through and here we were prepared to declare our shopping from the 50th. And nope, didn't ask us any questions, just put us through, took us on the golf cart. They were radioing ahead and got there and they had been holding the plane. So they held it for about 15 minutes for us to get on. But then we didn't get our luggage that night. So We got into the airport in Edmonton. We're waiting for our luggage. She said, it's coming in on a plane at 1 o'clock. I said, okay, good. We'll come back and get it the next morning because we're leaving. Got an 8-hour drive, but Otter has to work. So we're going to be leaving first thing in the morning. So we'll come and get it in the morning. She said, nope, we're going to courier it to your hotel. It'll be there first thing in the morning. So of course, in the morning, it's not there. So we're on the phone and they've got us talking to customer service out of country that's nowhere, has no idea. So he's trying to call and find out what happened to it. It's not at the terminal anymore. Finally, they determine it got on the courier's truck, but the courier isn't going to be delivering to the area of the city where our hotel is until 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So I'm saying, like, this is not working for us. We have to get our bags because they had said the earliest they could ship them out would be 1 to 2 weeks to ship them out to us. So I said, no, like, we have to have our bags. So find out where the courier is and we'll meet them. Like, I don't care if we have to drive across the city or whatever. So finally they did that. And it was about noon when we finally got our luggage and then headed for home. So it was, it was a long trip home.
Wow. How scary. And I don't know if you realize this, but I have the biggest fear of flying. My good buddy, not to be buddy soon, Rick, knows this.
Oh, no. So he set me up.
Oh, he set you up. I am so going to get him back on this one.
Yeah, I have to admit, like our daughter, Britt, she travels all over, but she's not good with the takeoff and landing. That gives her anxiety. And this did not help it. Oh,
yeah.
And then to immediately have to run and get on another plane probably was good because then we didn't have any time to think about it. We just had to run and get on another plane and go. And then the one in Edmonton came down fine. But
yeah. But I mean, your story, you know, does say one thing about the pilots out there. I mean, they're trained for all of this.
Yeah. And the whole flight crew. I mean, they all knew exactly what they were doing and they just calmly went about doing. Nobody was panicking on the plane at all. Nobody was getting nervous or.
I'm okay flying. I know I'll have my nose pressed against the window. I have no problem with that. I have a problem with turbulence. And I mean, as a kid, I couldn't even do swings. I can't do elevators, normal elevators. You know, I mean, sensitivity.
You mean like a playground swing?
Yeah, I couldn't do them as a kid. Oh. So
I'm
yes,
not even gonna comment on that. Sorry.
You know what, Rickster, we're done, D-O-N-E. I mean, I got to catch a flight on Thursday morning, so think of me, Cindy.
All I can say is in all the times I've flown, this is the only one time that's ever had anything that was remotely, and it didn't even turn out to be serious. So
yeah,
I think it was well handled, and they have provisions in place that, and if it had been anything even more serious, they'd handled it more seriously.
Right? Yeah. I'm not so bad once I'm on the plane, because what will be, unless it's turbulence, and then poor Steve is, you know, getting clawed at by me. But I mean, I've been flying on planes since 78, 79. You know, I mean, it's not a new thing for me. And I've read so many books about, you know, I think once you know what a plane does, the noises it makes and things, it does help you. And if you don't hear those wheels coming down 10 minutes before you're supposed to land, well, then, yeah, I panic a bit. But thanks, Rick, my dear buddy.
you didn't take a boat from England to North America?
No. Oh, my gosh. Oh, you've just had a little bit of taste what I really go through, Cindy.
My heart goes out to you.
Oh, thank you.
So, yeah, this has been really great, Cindy. We're almost done. We just have a few more questions. They're hard questions, I guess you could say. So, Sheila, would you like to start with one, or do you want me to start?
No, I can start. Actually, I actually did the printed off the copy that we usually work from, Rick. And actually, Cindy's done a really great job of answering quite a few of them. But I've got a couple of questions for you. So Rick and I will take it in turns asking you. If you could be a cast member for a day, what job would you want?
I would want to drive the trucks in the Kilimanjaro Safari.
Ooh. Do you know what? I really like this question, because it's like, I don't know about you, Rick, but I find that we get different answers. I think there's only been maybe one or two that's been duplicated. And it's interesting just to see, you know, where people go with this. So that's your kind of ride then, eh? That's your kind of job.
I like driving big trucks. So.
And you get the heat.
Yeah.
And you get to see the animals.
Yeah. You get to wear the cool safari clothes.
All right. That's a good question, because I think, do we base our choices by the uniforms? I mean, the cast members' uniforms.
If I was basing it by the uniform, I'd want to be a cast member at Haunted Mansion.
Oh, well, me too. Oh, that'd be so cool. That would be so cool. Yes.
Yeah.
All right, it's my turn.
Yeah,
carry on. Go ahead, Sheila.
Oh, no, I was about to say, I don't know if I could keep a straight face. That's the only thing.
Yeah, I could see you trying to be scary.
Trying to be was the operative word, Rick.
You'll go. Yeah, it would work.
Then they'd hear her voice and they'd be like, what?
Yeah. Mine is, I'm going to make one of them a two-part question. So, what is your favorite restaurant at Walt Disney World? And the second part is, what has been your favorite meal? And they don't have to, you know, the favorite meal doesn't have to be from your favorite restaurant. It could be different.
I think my favorite restaurant is Tiffin's. I like the food there. But my favorite meal was from Skipper's Canteen. Was the Skura Sadie's seafood stew. It was just amazing. I would love to know how to make that. I dream about that.
Mm. I've wanted to eat there ever since it opened. It's just never, my kids aren't, you know, the most adventurous eaters, and they tend to shun that menu.
Yeah, I can see where that would be, because even their chicken has a spicier sauce on it.
Okay, so your next question then, what's one thing you would never do again at Disney? Or maybe you don't have anything, but if there is one, would you like to share it?
One thing I'd never do again at Disney, wow. Never thought of it as I'd never do it again. I can't really think of it. Everything we've done has always turned out, you know, to meet or above our expectations, and love to do it again.
Does that mean I get another one, Rick?
Sure.
Okay, I'll make it really, really easy. Your favorite Disney song?
Let It Go.
There you go.
Why?
I relate to that, being an older daughter in a very restrictive, kind of closed growing up environment. And, you know, you just had to behave a certain way and keep everybody from being, you know, keep dad from losing his temper and keep everything on an even keel with my younger brothers and sisters, keep them out of trouble. And so the first time I saw that movie, I was just like gasping. It was like somebody was saying exactly what I had thought. And then the Olaf in the movie, like, I don't know if Sheila knows what I do for a living, but I work in a, as a supportive in a VocaVal environment for adults experiencing physical and mental disabilities.
Right.
And to me, Olaf is all the good that's in my guys. That I'll do anything for you. I'm the best friend ever. I just want to give you a hug. And I really care that, you know, that you be happy. And yet, and then sometimes not understanding some of the things, like not getting that what summer would do to a snowman and stuff like that, you know, where you just chuckle because the innocence is so pure.
It sounds like that's a very special movie to you.
It really is. I liked it so well that everybody I knew bought a copy for me. So I have quite a few copies of the DVD.
At least you don't have to worry about it getting scratched up.
Yeah, exactly. I'm good to go.
Well, kind of related to that, if you could be a character in any movie, what's the movie and who would you be? Would it be Frozen and Elsa, or would it be somebody else?
Character in a movie. I'd love to be Maui.
That's a fun one.
Yeah. I'd be cool with that.
Can you do that little rap and tap dance that he does?
I'd learn it.
Okay. Maybe this is my last one, because I know you're coming back, so I might save some of these for next time you come on. Your Disney planning style. Do you have one when you're going to Disney? How much planning do you do?
It's called my daughter.
Oh.
I planned nothing, and she, when I went solo, I had nothing planned, and I was perfectly fine with that. But she enjoys the planning at least as much as she enjoys the trip. So she's got every detail figured out, and she's constantly, when we had the dining plan when we went in 2019, she had written down exactly what she thought that we were going to eat at each restaurant we had reservations at, and she was pretty much dead on.
Awesome. So with your solo trip, did you at least have your park reservations made, or did you do day by day while you're there?
Yeah, no, I had made my park reservations.
Okay. I didn't know how fast and loose you were playing.
I did make a couple while I was there because there were days I hadn't planned on being at the park. So I had just gone on and picked up one of the Epcot days and one of the Animal Kingdom days. But I, the rest, I had planned it based on, you know, group meetups and who was going to be, you know, so I kind of waited till everybody had their plans made and then I just joined in.
Definitely. That was definitely such a fun trip. I'm so glad that it happened. And it really kind of cemented the friendships that we've all made.
Yes.
Online. And I know that a lot of the conversations that we have in the Edcot group, or even in Monorail Tales, because there's a lot of overlap with people in the groups, are how we can make these little meetups happen to get us by until we can all get together again.
Yeah, for me, it's just wonderful to have friends that are interested in Disney. Like, that's, other than my daughter here, that's not really a big thing around here. So especially in a small community. So being able to go online and chat with people about their Disney plans and what they're doing and, you know, what reservations they're looking forward to and what ride's going to be, you know, going next and what app they're using. It's a lot of fun for me. And I kind of felt, until the meetup, I kind of felt like I was the Canadian that was up here that was kind of, and everybody else was sort of part of the group down there. You guys had some meetups at the Indy and stuff. So I'm really happy that I went in July and met up with people. And now I have a much deeper connection.
Yeah, so I was so excited when, you know, I saw the news in the group that you're going to be able to come for sure.
Yeah, I was pretty happy.
Sheila, yeah. You said you're done with your questions?
Yeah.
Okay, I got two more. They're relatively easy ones. The first one is, you said you got to go around Epcot and, you know, sample the goods at the Food and Wine Festival, right?
Yeah.
What was your favorite item that you partook?
The lamb kebab meal at Morocco, or at the Tangiers one, was amazing. Fresh tabbouleh and couscous, and then with the lamb souvlaki on it, was really, really good.
Mm. I wanted to try that, but we didn't get a chance to because it was raining. We just had a rough night, our Epcot night, when we were doing the Food and Wine Festival. And the last question I have, I think I know the answer to this, but what is your favorite park?
Animal Kingdom.
I knew it. That's my favorite one, too.
Yeah.
I always like it when I hear somebody say Animal Kingdom, because it's not one that you hear often.
No. A lot of people will say, oh, it's a half-day park, or there's, you know, it's just not. I heard somebody on a group the other day saying it's not family-friendly and stuff, and I thought, well, I guess it depends on what you're looking for out of it, but I should enjoy it.
Yes. All right.
Oh, I've got to do it. Sorry, Rick.
Go ahead.
Okay.
I knew you can't resist.
No, I can't have you have the last question. Come on. Who's your favorite character, Cindy?
Donald Duck.
I knew that too. All right, Sheila. Cindy, if anybody wants to get in touch with you or ask any questions, what's the best way that they can reach you? Just post a question in one of the groups.
Yeah, so Monorail Tales group I'm part of. And I'm on Facebook as Cindy Altman Ellicott. And I'm also in the Edcott group.
And I know that we're getting closer and closer every day to the Christmas season. And if you want to see some amazing baked goods and candy and just everything that's good about the food at Christmas, Cindy will share pictures of it.
Oh, cool.
Because she is an amazing baker and cook.
Thank you. You are too, Rick.
Yes, thank you, but not to that level. I mean, your pictures just blow me away. If I could easily get up there, I'd be up there in a heartbeat.
For the region that I manage, we have 16 locations and 2 processing plants and a head office in my region. There's 5 regions in the province. And so I make up trays every year for the staff, because a lot of them live in supported living arrangements. So they don't get, it's all the food is compiled by a nutritionist. They're not getting a lot of home baking. It's institutionalized style cooking. So every year at Christmas, I make up baking trays, and so it usually ends up about 60 large trays of baking that I take and give out to the different locations and staff and stuff like that, so that they can take home and share with where they live and stuff like that. So I enjoy that a lot.
You're definitely gonna have to share those pictures.
I think your love language is giving.
Yeah, I when they asked on the group last week who you related to, for me it was fairy godmother. I just like to make people's wishes come true.
Oh,
Oh, you're gonna make Sheila cry.
That's really sweet. This has been really a fun time talking to you. It's the first time I've ever talked to you. I know it's definitely not gonna be the last.
No, us Canadians have to stick together.
Oh, for sure. And I know if the Doves have a big meetup next year, I know Steve and I are really going to do our best to also come and join the other part of our family down there. So
that would be awesome. I'd love to, if Steve tags along with Rick, I would love to meet him.
Oh, in November. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll be sure to do my best to bring him, even if I have to. Yeah, even if he ends up wearing a boot when I'm done.
What's your favorite kind of ketchup chips? Is it Old Dutch?
No, it's Lay's, actually.
It is Lay's, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'll make sure I stick one in my suitcase then so I can hand it off to Steve for you.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, any chance? I'll send you my shopping list, okay?
Yeah, send me your list because I'll have a lot more room in my suitcase coming down than I will going back, I can guarantee.
No, I desperately need Bovril, you know, the gravy mix.
Oh, yeah.
Steve and Rick are going to the D23 event.
Oh, cool. Yeah, we'll make sure. Rick and I'll keep in touch and we'll make sure we get together for snack or something at least.
Yeah. Yes, definitely. Yeah, Rick and Steve have never kind of done solo together. This would be a first. So it's going to be interesting.
Did he get any tips from JJP or?
No, I haven't got to that stage yet.
Oh my goodness.
I don't know if he even knows that, you know, Rick is playing around here and going with Steve. So
Yeah, you might not want to break that news.
Yeah.
You're gonna have to edit this part out, Sheila.
No, I don't think so. Editor rules.
I can't have him getting mad at me.
Oh yes, what did I say about payback? You know, before we go, and I know we are closing the show down now, I just took a quick moment to look at my messages from Rick in the last 30 minutes. I think he sent me about 8 little videos of planes coming down and turbulence and
That's just mean.
Oh yes. Thank you. Very mean.
Don't worry. They float on pillows.
What do?
Planes.
Oh.
They just float along. There's never a worry.
Hmm. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll send you a message when we land in, hopefully. Anyway, think of me at 7:20 to 9 o'clock Thursday morning.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I will survive. I want my ketchup chips. Nah.
I wish I could be down there for that meet up, but
I think it's going to be good. Yeah.
I think you're going to have a lot of fun. Yeah.
You should have extended your trip for another 2 weeks, Cindy.
Yeah, exactly. What the heck? I don't need to come home and work.
That's right.
Well, I'll tell you what, I can't wait to have you back on the show again. So we do hear about your adventure on the high seas. And yeah, that's going to be good.
That's awesome. I had a lot of fun tonight. So this was really nice. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Are you doing the honors then, Rick?
Sheila, I was just going to ask you if you could let the listeners know where they can find us.
Oh, I didn't know this was going to be a test. Actually, to our listeners, thank you so much for staying through on this episode. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed making it for you. It's quite simple. Just go to our website, monorailtales.com. You're going to find all of our social media links there. And please come and join us on the Facebook group. We have a lot of fun over there. And you get to chat to Cindy and Rick and Bill and Chris and whoever. We'd love to have you there. So until next time, good night.
Thank you, Cindy.
Thank you.
You were great, Cindy. Thanks again.
Switch on the sky and the stars glow for you. Go see the world, 'cause it's all so brand new. Don't close your eyes.
and thank you.